Welcome to Humus and Tech, helping Olim navigate the Israeli high-tech industry.
We are Maggie and Kevin, and here with us today we have the amazing and outstanding Valerie Ellie, who is the author of Chutzpah and CEO and founder of Synthesis. Hi, Inbal. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Maggie and Kevin, for inviting me, and hi, everyone.
So, well, first of all, I want to know a little bit more about you. You do so much. It's you know, amazing. You write. You're a global speaker. You are an entrepreneur. You help people become entrepreneurs. Can you define yourself in just a few sentences?
Wow, that's maybe the biggest challenge of all, to define yourself. So I'm 46 years old. I'm born and raised in Israel, but I did spend parts of my childhood in Europe. I'm a mother to three kids, three boys, not that young anymore. My oldest is 18, 16, and 11. I live in Tel Aviv. And like you said, I'm very active in the tech ecosystem in Israel for the past 20 plus years since I finished my military service. Originally as a general counsel. So I started my career in the legal world, in high tech. And for the first decade spent several positions as general counsel in different tech companies in Israel. And for the past 12 years, an entrepreneur myself, an investor, and an active supporter of entrepreneurs. And yes, also an author.
Amazing, amazing. And this is one of the big things we wanted to discuss today. And for everyone out there listening to our podcast on this episode, regardless if you are olé, olá, you're living here, or you're planning on coming and making aliyah, or just immigrating here, there's the book by Inbal Chutzpah. It's called Why the Israel It's an Innovation and Entrepreneurship Nation. And now the truth is, after living a few years in Israel, you get to see and describe the culture in Israel, right? Like, you understand people will shout on the streets, and you will start getting some of these traits. Now, the cool thing about the book from Inbal, Chutzpah, it's really interesting, and something that from the outside you would never know: how do Israelis get these traits through their formative years? And this is something, can you share, Inbal, with our audience? Can you mark this steps on the life of an Israeli, and what kind of traits they acquire?
Sure. So the reason I wrote the book, by the way, and I think it's relevant because it explains actually why I decided to share that, is that many times I was asked on stages at different, you know, events and conferences, what is the secret sauce of the startup nation? Right? The world is interested and fascinated with what's happening here. And typically, the reason which is given, do you want to guess what is the top first differentiator that everyone thinks about?
I would say personality.
Okay. Kevin, what do you think?
I think people think it's also about the army. Like, oh, the technology you get in the army, this is like what helps you. I think this is what people
Correct.
Think.
Correct. Yeah. So most people actually associate the military, the Israeli military, Tzal, the IDF, as the main reason for the success of the startup nation. Now, I spent more than 5 years in 8200 in Shmoni Matayim, and I was an officer there, and I'm a strong advocate of the IDF and the opportunity that it can actually give you as a young individual. However, I definitely don't think that's where it all starts. And again, looking from the eyes of an outsider into Israel, I don't think this should be, you know, our main story, right? A militant state. And so on stage, I was, like I said, asked a lot of times this question. And my answer was always, we're not born 18. It's not like something that happens once we join the Bakum, right? Once we're enlisted in the military and we suddenly become these entrepreneurs, creative, big thinkers. We are actually joining the military with a toolbox, with a kit of skills and elements that we have fostered in our childhood here in Israel. And that's when I actually went on a quest, on a journey to try and unpack what does the Israeli childhood look like and what is so special about it that builds these individuals and capabilities and traits that are then manifested in the military and elsewhere. No, I say what I wanted to say is that I can go now and explain each one of those, but it was important for me that you have this context, this framework.
Yeah, let's go through the first ones because it's really right. It's right from the beginning, from like the first years in kindergarten, that they are already learning how to become these big minds in the future, right? And this is what you explain in the book, like right from the beginning, right from kindergarten.
Right. So I think that, like you said, for every Olé that comes to Israel, you immediately sense, and it gets time to get used to, and some Olim sometimes never get used to the noise and the messiness and the balagan and the chaos. But actually, when you look at it through a special set of eyes, you can actually find a lot of opportunities in that. And let me give you an example. So, like I said, I grew up in Israel and abroad. And at the age of 4, we moved to Geneva, to Switzerland. And I was a 4-year-old Israeli. I didn't speak French or English. I spoke only Hebrew. And I went to the kindergarten in the International School of Geneva, where there were all these kids from all around the world. And at my first days in kindergarten, the kindergarten teacher was onboarding me, taking me by the hand and showing me everything because I didn't understand anything. So she had to show me. And one of my first childhood memories is, seeing the playground at school with the slide that I know so well as any kid around the world knows, right? And I know exactly what to do because, of course, I used to play on slides like that in Israel. And so she takes me by the hand, and it's a true story. It's really a childhood vivid memory that I have. She takes me by the hand, and we approach that structure, okay? Now, if I'll tell you to imagine what it looks like, you immediately know because every child around the world knows this triangle of a ladder and a slide, right? And we approach it, and there's in front of me, and she does like this with her hands, like a sign, okay? And that sign, I understand, it means pause for a second. So I pause, and the kid in front of me climbs up the ladder, and then she smiles at me. And so I understand, and I climb up the ladder, and the kid in front of me sits on their butt, their tuches, and slides down the slide, and she smiles at me again, and I understand that's my turn, and I do the same. And it's super pleasant and it's very harmonic and it has a rhythm to it. So you climb up the ladder, another child waits, you go on your butt, you slide down and et cetera, et cetera. Okay. That's like the rhythm to it. Now let's go back to Israel for a second and let's imagine a playground in Israel, in any city in Israel, same structure. Ladder and a slide, same 4-year-old year-old kids, but a completely different music and tone and volume to it, right? Because at 4-year-old, the kids are actually not instructed or guided what to do. No one is taking them by the hand and actually guiding them through the process. Even if their parents are there with them in the playground, they will sit on a bench, they will let them play. And they will not teach them any best practices because that's exactly what she did. She taught me what I'm expected to do. And by showing me what I'm expected to do, I immediately understood what I'm not supposed to do. in comparison, the Israeli kid of 4 years old would not be told what to do. They will not be told what not to do. But eventually they will figure it out in different ways. Okay. And yes, you will see one kid going, climbing up the ladder and down the slide, but you'll also see a kid climbing up the slide, or even one child just in the middle of the slide, pausing. Okay. And one jumping off the slide. And a lot of things will happen, and there will not be a very regulated rhythm to it. It will be more chaotic. There'll be a lot of balagan. An outsider looking at that dynamic will say, oh my God, what a mess, what's going on here? But for the kids, it's not the case. And if you want this so simple example, captures a lot of what then later on will become the startup nation mindset. Being creative, not necessarily following best practices, finding your own way, okay? Being capable of coping with uncertainty, because what's happening is an uncertain dynamic. Resolving conflicts, one child sliding down with another one climbing up the slide creates a conflict. Now what? They need to resolve it. They will resolve it. And that's as early as the age of 4.
Yeah. It's impressive. It's something that I was wondering all along when I was reading the book. I know there's also an explanation there. I want to dive deep into that. Sorry, Maya, I'm asking all these questions. I'm a really big fan here. So last question on this topic. How can we train people who haven't gone through all this experience? We haven't even gone through the army service, maybe. How can we train ourselves to have this chutzpah, to be able to think more creatively, to think of uncertainty? How do we train this muscle?
It's a great question, Kevin. And the way I see it, all of these traits are actually trainable. So think of, your muscles when you go to the gym, right? You practice, you focus on a specific set of muscles and you strengthen them and they become stronger. But you neglect another set of muscles, okay? And someone who would go swimming instead of going to the gym would focus on a different set of muscles as you, okay, than you. So the way I think of it, the chutzpah mindset actually can be unpacked into a list of elements, of principles, such as creative thinking, critical thinking, coping with uncertainty, collaborative mindset, asking questions, being optimistic, okay? An entire set of skills, and those skills are trainable. You can actually decide that you want to focus on them, just like in the gym, just like a set of muscles, and you want to strengthen them. Now, each one of them requires a different exercise. Each one of them requires a different, machine, like you do at the gym. And so for each one, there are different ways. And I think what I'm trying to do in the book, and Chutzpah, the book was published by Harper Business. It's a book about Israeli childhood, but it's a book intended for the business audience, because it is practical to actually take those lessons from the Israeli childhood and apply them to business leaders and entrepreneurs. And so if we take the example of the slide, maybe what you need to take from that is when you're working with your team, instead of having a regular order and process of things, every once in a while to shake things up. Even you'd be surprised how physically sitting in a different order completely changed our perspective. shaking the dynamics of who's asking questions on a meeting and who's making the decision. Just by switching the roles, you immediately think in a different way.
This is great advice. I'm like loving what I'm hearing. And I think that there's so many people that need to cope with having, you know, such a very flat way of doing stuff all the time that is so repetitive. And the moment you add a bit of spark and a bit of change to that equation, things can really, really take a different turn. So I think it's so important for, you know, for us, for the Olim community, that we're often being told what not to do at some point as well. Like, you cannot get that job because you do not speak the language, or you cannot enter that university because you don't have a degree that, you know, allows you. And I think that all this knowledge that you're bringing is super, super relevant, because I think that also, you know, from Kevin and my side as well, one of the things that we always try to preach is, you know, even if they told you no, it does not mean it's an actual no. So thank you so much for sharing that. That's amazing.
Sure. And think, I mean, Olim, and immigrants in general, okay, not just Olim to Israel, but of course, let's focus on, you know, on Olim. You are entrepreneurs by definition. Just by packing your whole life, making a decision to move to a different country, okay, sometimes by yourself, that's an act of entrepreneurship. That's an act of taking initiative. That's an act of taking risk. That's an act of being somehow capable of dealing with uncertainty. And so you are already possessing all of these muscles. They're in you. Yes, they're different. They're in a different way and form than for an Israeli who grew up in Israel. But they're there. Okay? And it's now, it's like you said, it's about realizing and being aware that they're there and bringing them, shining them, and using them in an optimal way.
This is fantastic. But now I want to shift back to your career, if I may. You worked for many years at Startup Nation Central. Did I get that correctly? I think that we all the Olim, the first thing we know before even, you know, Humus is the Startup Nation. So if you want to tell us more about what you did there and what is the company or the foundation, what it is, and just so we can all learn more about it.
Sure. Startup Nation Central is an incredible non-for-profit organization that bridges between the world and the needs of the world and the tech solutions that exist in Israel, but not just the solutions, also the talent and the mindset that exists here. And so trying to bridge that gap in different ways. I'm no longer, for the past 4 years, I'm no longer in the organization. I'm still very close friends with them and had the honor to be there on the first years of building the organization. But for any of you actually interested in learning more about Startup Nation, the tech ecosystem, Startup Nation Central has created an incredible tool called the Startup Nation Finder, which is an online, free, the most updated and accurate database about the entire tech industry in Israel. So Startup Nation Finder, just Google it. And then it's a browser that you can find there information about all, each and every Israeli startup and tech company, all of the investors, all of the incubators, all of the elements that comprise the Startup Nation. And the data there is very accurate and it's free. So it could be a great resource, actually, for Olim that are interested in learning more about the Israeli ecosystem in different verticals or different stages. To learn it through that database. And that's just one example of what the organization does.
That's fantastic. And now you founded a company and you're the CEO of Synthesis. So why don't you tell us what the company is about, how you came up with that idea, and how did the whole process got started, and where are you now?
Sure. So Synthesis is a leadership assessment company. As you understand by now, I am mostly fascinated by the human factor, right? what creates great leaders in business. And in the course of my personal journey as an investor in tech, I realized that I am making investment decisions mostly based on my intuition or gut feeling. But then I wanted to somehow, you know, rationalize it or process it in terms of creating a process to it. And this is how the tool that we're using at Synthesis was born, as actually answering my own needs and my partner's needs at the fund of due diligencing early stage teams and focusing on the human factor. So what we do at Synthesis is we assess C-level executives on their personality. So it's a deep psychological assessment tool, which is done remotely based on narrative psychology. We have a set of questions to which they answer, but these are open questions. Okay, it's not some kind of test of knowledge or something of that sort. And based on their answers, our psychologists are capable of assessing their personality, focusing on three elements that we believe are the most important for business leaders. And all of our psychologists are actually former IDF psychologists. And the reason is that in the IDF, when you think of it, and for those of you who have joined the IDF or have gone through the screening processes, so the IDF actually is not relying on your past experience or your past knowledge, because in most cases, at the age of 17 and a half, it's just not relevant enough, right? The IDF is more relying on your potential, on your inner capabilities and what they believe you are capable of achieving, right? And so with relatively limited amount of information, a relatively short time frame for screening processes, the IDF has special forces in the IDF, more specifically, have been capable of developing these methodologies of assessing individuals and their potential. And inspired by that work, we've adapted these principles and mindset into the business world. And that's what we're applying at Synthesis.
Amazing.
Outside of Israel, we actually don't work in the Israeli market. 95% plus of our market is in the US. So our team is also divided between the US, where the sales and operations and customer success and marketing is based. But the psychologist and myself were based here in Israel. And we've been up and running for the past 3 or 4 years already, almost 4 years. And we're a business. We're generating revenue. We have actual clients. We've assessed so far over 1,000 C-level executives.
Is there anything, and we will be wrapping up shortly, from what you just said, is there something, it's on a different level, but can we extract something from this C-level leadership into people finding their first job in the high-tech world?
Great question, Kevin. So specifically in Israel, and I want to go back to Maggie, what you also said. When you're looking for to be hired in any position in the tech ecosystem in Israel, and you know you always have the spec, right, of the requirements for the position and an idea of what the position looks like. Maybe some of you coming from different countries, okay, are assuming that what's written is what is supposed, what is expected from you. And this is how things will happen. For almost any Israeli sitting at the other side of the table, this is just the opening framework. So this is where only where things start. And maybe the best way of explaining that is by using an expression in Hebrew. So wash gadol. I don't know if you're familiar with it. For those of you who served in the military, probably yes. The literal translation means big head, right? Rosh gadol. which in English or in French, grosse tête, big head, grosse tête, is actually a negative thing. But Rosh Gadol in Hebrew means something very positive. Means that you're a big thinker. And not just a thinker, that you're doing more than you're expected. So when you enter any position, any interview in any position, without being told so, people expect you to be that big thinker. People actually expect you to do more than what's written. People actually expect you not to be siloed and focused only on your position. And for those of you working in the tech ecosystem, you probably see that in brainstorming, in conversations, right? Everyone is interfering. Everyone has an opinion about everything. And that's how you're expected actually to think about things.
Actually, that's amazing. And I like hearing you say this, I just thought and remember like how I got my last job in promo.com, a company I started working in a month ago already. So I guessed the CEO email, like trying different combinations. And I sent an email to a CEO and to HR saying, like, with a really nice subject saying, like, promo.com hires Kevin as product manager, and with a whole, like, cold email, even using its own product to present myself and introduce myself. And in the end, I said, like, let's continue on a Zoom call. And on the same date, I got a call and started the interview process. And then on my last interview with the CEO, I asked him, did the email work? And he told me, yeah, I opened it. I just skimmed it and forwarded it to three other people, like inside the company saying, hey, pay attention to this candidate. So it's like a great example for anyone else, everyone here listening to the podcast. When you're applying for a new job, be Rosh Gadol. Think even outside the box. Be this. Think, as Inbal said, think outside of what's expected from you. Don't go through the flow that's expected from you. Like, try to stand out from the crowd, and think differently in a way also.
But before we wrap up, we have two important questions to ask you. One of them, it's your favorite Hebrew word, which I already have a clue which one may be, but we're going to let you say it anyway. And why, of course, it's important to you, and why do you think it's relevant for, you know, the high-tech industry? And last but not least, also very relevant, which one is your favorite hummus place in Israel?
Okay, easy on both. So, my favorite Hebrew word is lefargen or firgun. Okay. And it's a special concept that, by the way, the book, Chutzpah the book, has a dictionary in it. And it has 17 words that are and expressions that are part of the chutzpahdik mindset, but each stand for a deep principle, which is unique to Israel. Lefargen or firgun is one of them. And firgun means that you're actually positive and you're complimenting and you're happy for someone and you're helping them just for the sake of doing that. With no, you know, guidebooks on if you help 10 people, you will then be helped by 20 others or nothing. It's just for the sake of being happy for someone. You get nothing out of it. You're just positive with them. And I think it's a very unique, Israeli concept. It's very present in the Israeli tech. And maybe the best example is, and that's another tip for you, Olim, is that I think all of you would be surprised if you approached any 10 people in the Israeli tech ecosystem, some of them by definition will answer you more than you expect. and they will answer. And if you ask for a short meeting, they will hold a short meeting with you, especially if you say that you're on a LEAM and you're thinking about your next steps, because people want to help each other. Without having, you know, some kind of advantage in it, a self-advantage in it. So that's my favorite word, firgun. And my favorite hummus place is by far Ali Caravan in Yafo.
This is the first one. Okay, what's your go-to dish? Hummus? Yeah, no, some people say masabacha or hummus with meat or hummus, just plain hummus and tchina.
Ali Caravan is a very, there are two Ali Caravans in Yafo owned by the same family, but the original one is a tiny, 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 tiny shop where, again, not in coffee days, but in regular days, you would sit there for like not less than 25 minutes. They close at around, I don't know, 1:30 or 2 because that's it. They're done with the hummus for the day. They have different types of hummus, masabacha and all the, you know, different types, but I just take regular hummus, even without tchina, nothing. Hummus, a pita, some olive oil and lemon and garlic, and I'm all set.
Where can our listeners get hold of the book?
So the book in English is, of course, available on Amazon. And by the way, it won the 2020 new entrepreneurship Audible book in the U.S., like the best Audible entrepreneurship book in the U.S. Yes, thank you. Published by HarperCollins, which is a very large U.S. publisher. So it's available on Amazon, and I'm sure you will share the link. The book was already also released, obviously, in Israel, but in Korea and Taiwan. And it's being released next month in Vietnam, in China, and later on in Japan as well.
Wow.
And we can share all the links in these languages.
Wow. That's amazing. You're taking over Asia. It's insane.
Yes, kind of. Our chutzpah is taking over China and Asia. Yeah.
Amazing. It was, Inbal, thank you so much. It was wonderful having here as big fans. We had a lot of questions and you had so much wisdom to share with all our audience. So thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Thanks to everyone listening to us. Don't forget to subscribe. Give us a 5-star review, which is free. And see you on the next episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Inbal. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you, Maggie. Thank you, Kevin.
Bye.
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 Bye.